Good morning. My name's Jeremy. I'm one of the youth leaders here at Real Life Church. I get the privilege and honor of sharing with you today. And I guess I kind of want to start out with a little confession. When I was preparing, I kind of thought about telling a joke based on the end of the world or whatever not happening. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized, number one, it's too hard to make that funny. And number two, that it was just kind of in bad taste. And I realized that that's something that, as a follower of Jesus, that I take very seriously. And I really do believe that Jesus is going to come back one day. And I've read enough of the Bible to know that Jesus himself said that nobody really knows when it's going to happen. So if you're in here and you're new to this whole church thing or to what it means to be a follower of Jesus, I'll just kind of give you a little heads up and say anytime you see somebody on TV talking about Jesus, there's probably like a 95% chance that they're crazy and you just shouldn't listen to them. All right? We'll just go with that. We're in week two of our series, Five Things God Uses to Grow Your Faith, and I really am excited to be doing this, and I want to raise a question that we kind of brought up last week, and I wish we could dig into it deeper throughout the series, but the reality is that sometimes when we leave church, or maybe if you listen to the sermon off of the website, that the busyness of life just seems to catch up to you, and we don't really think about it much anymore. But just for a second, I want to ask you this question. I want you to picture your life, and I want you to think what it would look like if you had absolutely 100% perfect faith and confidence in God. What would it look like if you had absolute perfect faith and confidence in God? And it didn't matter what the circumstances of your life were, whether things were going good or things were going bad, or you're happy or you're depressed, or no matter what the situation, that your natural response was to have perfect faith and confidence in God. What if you had that kind of faith? How would our lives look different? And perhaps you know somebody like this. Perhaps you've met the person that it seems like no matter what happens in their life, their natural response is, well, I trust God. And they could have great success or they could have great despair and things could be going great. They could experience great joy or they could experience terrible tragedy. And no matter what their response is, you know, I'm going to trust God. And when we meet these kind of people, our natural response is to just kind of bombard them with more information. Like, have you watched the news? Do you understand what's going on in the world? Do you read the paper? Do you have any idea what's going on right now? And they just respond, you know, yes, I watch the news, or no, I don't know about that story. I've paid a little bit of attention to what's going on. But regardless of all that, I'm going to trust God. And how would it look if we really believed that there was a God that knew our name, that cared about us, that wanted good and not harm to happen to us, and we had that perfect trust and confidence in Him? And throughout the story of the Bible, we see this happening, that God is trying to grow this big faith in us, and that God wants to have that trust relationship with us, and He wants us to have this perfect confidence in Him. And the problem with mankind and God began not so much as a problem of disobedience, but as a problem of mankind deciding to not trust God. And so we see in the Old Testament this narrative of God trying to restore this trust relationship with a people group and a nation, kind of as a word picture to the rest of the world. And then we see in the New Testament that God extends that invitation through his son Jesus to everybody else. And Jesus comes and he says, I want to grow big faith in you. I want you above anything else to trust me, to believe in me, and to know that I am who I say I am, that I will do what I say that I will do, and that you can have perfect confidence in me because people will fail you, systems will fail you, governments and economical systems will fail you, your own family might fail you, but I will never fail you. And you can have that perfect trust and confidence in me. And I find it interesting that one of the groups of people that we see in the Bible that struggled the most with having perfect confidence and faith in God were the disciples of Jesus. Now, if you don't know anything about the Bible or about Jesus and his story, Jesus had these 12 guys that followed him around everywhere that he went. And they saw everything that Jesus did. They slept where he slept. They ate where he ate. They did the things that he did. And they saw all the miracles that he did. They saw him raise people from the dead. They saw him spit in the mud and put it on a guy's eyes that was blind and all of a sudden he could see. They saw all of these things, and yet their natural response was to doubt and struggle having perfect faith and confidence in God. And so if you're in here and you're saying, you know what, that's me, I really struggle having that faith and confidence in God, understand that it's not necessarily a personal problem, but that it's kind of a humanity problem, and that throughout history, mankind has struggled to have this trust and confidence in God. And since the beginning of time, God is trying to restore and renew and reform and rebuild this faith relationship that was lost with him. And Jesus understood this, and he wanted to build this big faith, and he wanted to start with the disciples. And last week when Dave was talking, he kind of ended with this verse, and it's Matthew 17, verse 20. We'll get it on the screen. And this is what Jesus said. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And this is the part that I love. Nothing will be impossible for you. And that is the kind of faith that God wants to build in each and every one of us. The kind of faith where we can look at a situation and we don't have to be scared because we understand that behind us and in our corner is a God that cares for us and loves us and wants to build us up and can help us to overcome any obstacle. He can help us to be, what the Bible says, more than conquerors through Jesus. And this is the faith that God wants to build in us. And so we talked about when you see people share their story, and kind of as we talk to people, we discover there's these faith stories that happen in people's lives. And it seems like there are these five things that consistently show up. And they're not necessarily in the Bible, and they're not in chronological order, and this is not like a definitive list. But these five things constantly show up in people's lives and their faith story. And the first one is this: practical teaching. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. The second one, providential relationships. You know, I had met somebody that had helped me to grow big faith in God. It was when I got married or when I first had children that I had that perfect faith and confidence in God. The next one, private disciplines, those things that we do in private. Those, you know, it wasn't until I started reading the Bible for myself, or it wasn't until I started talking to God on my own, that I really understood what it meant to have faith and confidence in him. The next one is personal ministry. You know, it wasn't until I started serving that I understood what it meant to have faith in God. I had gone to church, I had read the Bible, I had sang the songs, but it wasn't until I volunteered in the nursery, or I helped in the kids' ministry, or I volunteered my time to a local homeless shelter. It wasn't until I started pouring my life into a teenager or a college student. It wasn't until I started having deep conversations with my roommate at night that my faith started to build because of personal ministry. And the last one, pivotal circumstances. Something good happened, something bad happened, something happened in my life that helped me gain that faith and confidence in God. And so we want to talk about this first one today, practical teaching. And if you want to stretch it out, we'll say practical biblical teaching. And the story goes something like this. You know, I had grown up going to Sunday school, or I had been in church my whole life, and maybe you grew up in a different religion, but then all of a sudden this guy invited me to a Bible study, or this lady at work started a Bible study, or one of my classmates invited me to a Fellowship of Christian Athletes thing, or somebody at my college invited me to this campus ministry, or we just had this group of people that met in the house, and there was a person there, and they opened up the Bible. And one of the things that we discover in people's lives that God uses to grow this big kind of faith is the first time that we are exposed to practical, applicable teaching in our life. That we're not just learning things from the Bible for the sake of knowing more things or getting smarter, but we're learning how to do the things that we've been taught. And as we look through the scriptures, we see this happening. When Jesus opens the Old Testament and starts teaching, it looks different. When the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts opens the Old Testament and he starts teaching, it looks different. And one of the problems that we have in most churches, and I'll just speak in kind of general terms here, and this is not an attack on the church or anything like that, but one of the problems that we have in most churches is that we've grown content with just kind of covering the material or going over the basics, but not really knowing how to do with what we've been taught. And the reason we like shorter and shorter sermons is because by the time the pastor gets up there and opens the Bible, we've already heard what he said, and we've heard it before. And, you know, I've heard that sermon a dozen times already, and the reason we like shorter and shorter sermons is because a lot of churches, particularly in America and in Europe and this Western culture that we live in, we're content with just covering the material. You know, the pastor, the man or woman that's speaking, will get up and he'll read a couple verses from the Bible and we'll pray, and then there will be a mad dash to Perkins or Baker Square or wherever you go for brunch after church on Sunday. I'm from the South, and we have Shoney's there, all right? And Shoney's is where you go after church for brunch because they have a buffet, and it's like $5. And there's nothing better than all-you-can-eat French toast sticks. But we have this problem where we're sitting in church and we just feel bored because we've heard the same thing over and over again. But one of the things that we notice is that when we are exposed to teaching that challenges our life, that makes a difference, that teaches us how to do this stuff in our life, not just here's what you need to believe, here's some things you need to know about God, but here's what God is like, and this is what that looks like in your marriage. Here's what God is like, and this is what it looks like in your personal life. Here's what God is like, and what we realize is when we look at Scripture through the lens of practical, applicable teaching, everything changes. That the way we view our finances changes, and the way we view our marriages, or if you're a parent, the way you view parenting changes, or the way that we view our private morality and ethics, it all changes when we view Scripture through the lens of practical, applicable teaching. And so Jesus teaches this way. And if you have your Bibles, I want to kind of look at this, that if you're in Matthew chapter 7, and just to kind of give a little background on this, Jesus is finishing up what's called the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount is an entire sermon of do statements. It's not a sermon about belief, although there's a couple belief statements in there. It's not a sermon about who's going to heaven and who's going to hell or what you need to believe. It's about if you have perfect faith in God, this is what that looks like. If you want your faith in God to grow, here's some things that you'll do. And he says things like, if somebody tells you to walk 1 mile, you walk 2 miles. If somebody really, really hurts you and offends you and does wrong to you, you don't try and get revenge. You just forgive them. Lust is a sin, not just adultery. The things that you put in your eyes and in your mind is a sin. And that is groundbreaking news to the people of that culture, because the teachers of the law had been teaching in such a way of knowledge building but no application. You know, here's some things that you need to know about God. Here's what Isaiah really meant when he wrote this stuff. Here's some things, knowledge, 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 become smarter people. And here's what I realize, and as a pastor, a minister, or somebody that preaches the Word of God on a regular basis, here's what I've started to realize in my own life. If when I open the Word of God, all I'm doing is teaching you theological ideas or philosophies, or just giving you knowledge, but not teaching you how to apply that to your life, I have failed as a pastor. That if I'm just opening the scripture and saying, here's some things that you need to know, but what I'm teaching you doesn't help you to be a better husband or a better wife or a better father or a better college student or a better person in handling your finances, if I don't do those things, then as a pastor, I have failed. And Jesus understands this, and instead of teaching as the teachers of the law did, he said, you know what, you guys have enough knowledge. And this is not teaching to build favor with God, because in the mind of Jesus, he was speaking to a group of people that already had God's favor and in fact were called by God to be his chosen people. He's speaking to a group of people, and for the first century, a group of Jewish people that had been chosen by God to be his instrument to reach the world and restore that relationship with him. And so Jesus isn't just saying, here's some more things you need to know. He's saying, you know all the right stuff. Now this is what that looks like in every area of your life. And in Matthew chapter 7, he kind of wraps it up like this. Verse 24 says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, good, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And one of the things we realize when we hear people's faith stories is that when somebody is teaching the Bible in a practical, applicable way, God uses that to grow big faith in our life. And the story goes something like this. I had grown up in church my whole life, and I had never heard the Bible taught that way. Or maybe something like, I didn't even know that you could apply Scripture to your life. And you know what? When I started doing the things that the Bible said, instead of just knowing the things that the Bible said, my life was different. My marriage was different. The way I thought about morality and ethics were different, and everything changed when I realized that this wasn't just a book that I could read and know more about. It was something that I could apply to my life. And the things in this book, I could do them. It's one thing to know about nutrition and fitness, and it's another thing to do it. You can buy all the books, you can fill yourself up with all the material and the knowledge, and you can get the Wii Fit thing or the Xbox Kinect little camera deal to help you work out, and you can know about all the right things, you can know about good diets and healthy eating habits, but if you don't do something with the knowledge that you have, it is absolutely useless. You can have somebody come over to your house and they see a bookshelf full of books about healthy eating and fitness, and they come in and they think, man, you must be an expert on healthy eating and fitness, and you're sitting on the couch watching The Biggest Loser eating a bucket of fried chicken being like, yeah, I am an expert. But if you don't do anything with the knowledge that you have, it is useless. You can't just be like, God loves me because I went and heard Jesus speak today. And I think that church attendance is important, but understand this, that attendance is of almost no value to growing your faith if you do not apply what is being taught to your life. And we've kind of grown up in this culture of, you know, I'm a Christian because I go to church. I believe in God because I go to church. Jesus loves me because I go to church. And there's this kind of stigma that says, well, you know, there's people that go to church and they call themselves Christians, but what they look like in their life doesn't look like what they say with their mouth. And Jesus is saying that you can show up every single Sunday, and it is of almost no value to you if you do not build your house on the rock, if you don't do something with what you've been taught. And it kind of continues like this. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. And one thing that we realize that God uses to grow our faith is when we learn how to do what we are being taught. That not just knowing more about God or fill me up with theological philosophies, but when you learn what it looks like to do things like love your neighbor, when you learn what it looks like to give as much as possible. And when Jesus is teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, he's saying these things. You know, he's saying, this is what God looks like. If you want God to show up in your world, here are things that you will do. And if you listen to these things, and not only listen to them, but do them, you will be like a man that built his house on the rock. And understood that the man's house in this little fictitious story, it didn't fall, not because he knew what it took to build the house the right way, but because he actually did it, that he actually understood that building the house on the rock is the best place to build it. And when we realize and we get in a situation where somebody opens up the Bible and they're teaching us in practical, applicable ways, that God uses that to grow our faith in big ways. And one of the things that I've learned and kind of seen in other people's lives is that when our faith, which is really an act of obedience, intersects with God's faithfulness, he honors that faith because it is an act of obedience. That when we let God use this practical teaching to grow our faith in big faith ways, and God comes in with big faithfulness, that God grows that and he honors it as obedience because it's an act of faith. And it is an act of trusting in God. You know, sometimes God will ask you to do something that makes absolutely no sense. But if you honor him and trust him and are faithful to him, God's faithfulness will come and show up, and your life will be different. Verse 26. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. You can hear all of the right things. You can know all of the right things. But if we do not do what we are being taught, then the knowledge that we have is useless to us. In verse 27, the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. You can have perfect attendance. You can know all the right things, and your life can be an absolute disaster because you're not doing what you've been taught. If I go to church every week and I listen to the sermon and I take notes and I categorize them and I fill my head up with knowledge, 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 I become a smarter person. But if I don't do anything with what I've been taught, I'm like a foolish man who builds his house on sand. And the rain will come down and life will get tough and you might lose your job and your circumstances will change. And things will happen in such a way that your tiny faith can't withstand it because you haven't done anything with the things that you've been taught. And that's true for all of us. Now, I've been fortunate enough in my life to grow up in settings where the pastors taught to application. I've been fortunate enough to be in this church where we teach in a way where it's not just, here's some things that you need to know, here's some theological points, here's a little bit about what the Bible says. But no, instead, we just open up the Bible and say, here's some things the Bible says. Now, this is what it looks like in your day-to-day life. Because what happens in your life, Monday through Saturday, is still just as important as what happens when you come in here at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning and you sit in the cushy seat. That if we're not doing the things that we are being taught, our knowledge is useless to us. And God will use the teaching to grow big faith if we learn to apply it to our lives, and that we learn to trust Him and have faithfulness to Him in obedience. And finally, it says, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowd were amazed at His teaching, because He taught as one with authority and not as their teachers of the law. Jesus taught in such a way where He says, here's a little bit of information. And now instead of just having the information, here's what it looks like when you do it in your day-to-day life. And there's a kind of a concept that people have of church, that church is supposed to be quiet and serene and calm. And one of the things that I constantly hear about this church and other churches that are kind of like this is, man, I didn't feel like I was at church. I felt like I was at a concert. You know, there was like that guy that looked like Jesus up there doing guitar solos. And other than like that guy, I didn't feel like I was in church. I had never heard the Bible taught in a way that I could apply it to my life before. I had never understood that this wasn't just something that you could know, but this was something that you could do in your daily life and that it could change the way that you live. And understand that when people open this up and they teach in practical, applicable ways, that it's not easy, it's not calm, it's not serene. It challenges your life. The Bible says of itself that the word is God-breathed and that it's useful for teaching, but it's also useful for things like correction and rebuking and getting yourself straight when you've messed up. And understand that when Jesus taught to application, that things weren't always peaceful and calm. In John chapter 8, Jesus gets done preaching a sermon and they take Him out to stone Him. Let's close in prayer. Amen. All right, Jesus, we're going to stone you now. I got the passage here in Luke chapter 4 that I want you guys to see. In Luke 4, 28. All the people of the synagogue were furious when they heard this. Now, if I'm teaching and I make you mad, this verse is a little bit comforting to me because I just feel like, hey, I'm teaching the way Jesus taught. Now, I'm not going to go out of my way to offend you, but I feel good. When I teach, I hope that the scripture challenges your life. I don't want to teach the Bible in such a way that it's just, here's some things that you need to know. I don't want that for my own life. I don't want somebody to teach me that way. When somebody teaches me, I want it to hurt. I want myself to feel challenged, to feel like something needs to change, to feel convicted, to feel maybe ashamed of the way that I've been living my life because of issues of sin. When somebody opens the Bible and teaches in an applicable way, these are the things that happen. And it's not just a nice, peaceful, easy feeling that we get from coming to church, but it makes your life different. And everything changes from that. Verse 29 of Luke 4. They got up, they drove him out of town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the city was built in order to throw him off the cliff. Great sermon, Jesus. We're going to throw you off the cliff now. All right, thank you for that knowledge. We don't like being challenged. We just want knowledge. Get out of here. We're throwing you off the cliff. The scripture is challenging to us when it is taught in practical, applicable ways. If you come in and you're just taught lofty ideas from the Bible, but it doesn't cause you to be a better husband, a better wife, a better parent, a better roommate, a better student, a better person at your work, a more faithful employee, a better employer if you own your own business, then the things that you're being taught are of no value. I heard this guy teaching one time, and he kind of taught about this, and this is what he says. Unapplied truth is like unapplied paint. The value of paint is in the application. And so one of the things that we need to do for our lives and for our children's lives, and if you're a college student or if you're just getting married or whatever stage you are in life, whether you're trying to figure this Jesus thing out or you've been following Jesus for 10, 20, or 30 years, is to put yourself in a position somewhere where somebody is opening up this book and not just teaching you a bunch of ideas, but saying, this is what it looks like to follow Jesus in your everyday life. This is what it looks like to be a husband that follows Jesus. This is what it looks like to be a mom or a dad that follows Jesus. This is what it looks like to follow Jesus when you're in college. And it seems like nobody else is doing the things that you're doing. And this is the kind of faith that God wants to build up in us. And he just wants us to trust him. And you might be the only person living life the way that you're living it. But God says, when you put your faith in me and your trust in me, my faithfulness will meet that, and I will honor it as obedience. Because everyone who hears the words of Jesus and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down and the streams rose and the wind blew and beat against the house, your moral house, your financial house, your marital house, your parental house. But it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. When we learn to apply the scripture to our lives, our lives are going to look different. Things are going to change. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for the power of your word and that your Holy Spirit speaks to us through it, God. And I just thank you that we are in a place where we value the teaching of your word in such a way that we know what to do with what we've been taught. And God, I pray for everyone in here that we would find ourselves in a place on a regular, consistent basis where we are doing the things that we are taught. And we're not just filling our heads with knowledge, but we're learning practical ways that we can apply the scripture to our life. We just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, one thing I want to say before we close out here is sometimes the most practical thing that you can do is just take one step towards Jesus and away from everything else that you've been doing in your life. And if you're in here and you're trying to figure out what this is all about, we're going to have people up here that would love to pray with you and talk to you and let you know what this is all about and what it looks like to live out faith in Jesus in practical, applicable ways. All right. Thank you.